Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. Stop the spread, wear a mask, protect yourself and others against COVID-19. The Ellen Noel. The Odessa City Council discussed approval of a $1.5 million grant to the Ellen Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin to help the museum pay for a proposed $12 million building renovation and expansion project Tuesday via virtual work session. The museum is requesting a $1.5 million financial assistance grant from the Odessa Development Corporation, according to an application filed by museum officials. The bulk of the project's funding would come from donations raised through a capital campaign effort already underway by the museum, campaign chairman Austin Keith said. Virginia Louise King Cole, Hamilton. Obituary for Virginia Louise King Cole, Hamilton. Virginia Louise King Cole, age 88, passed from this life on March 5th, 2021. Virginia enjoyed a full life and treasured her family. Virginia Louise King Cole was the youngest of six children and was born at home in Austin, Texas on April 2nd, 1932, to W.R. King and Emma Ada Cravat King. Predeceasing her in death were her parents, W.R. and Emma King, brothers John Morris King, A.C. King, Wilford Snooks King, Lawrence King, and one sister, Norma Marie King Fortner. Also recently predeceasing her in death was her loving husband, David B. Cole. Virginia is survived by her daughter, Deborah K. Robertson, and husband, Larry, of Bixby, Oklahoma, son Donald D. Cole and wife Lillis of Hamilton, daughter Susan E. Norman and husband Dusty of Bastrop, and son Stephen M. Cole and wife Becky of Mansfield. She has 14 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. Funeral service for Virginia King Cole, age 88, of Hamilton, will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 10th, 2021, at the Chapel of Raleigh Funeral Home in Hamilton. Tom Moore, minister at Park Heights Church of Christ, will officiate the service. Virginia will be laid to rest at 1:30 p.m. in the Zephyr Cemetery, Zephyr, Texas, beside her husband David. The Cole family would like to thank the staff at Focused Care, Dr. Johnson, and the Mission Hospice staff, especially hospice nurse Leslie Wright. Your loving care of Virginia was invaluable to the entire family. Your constant attention to her needs touched our hearts. Flowers are welcome, as Virginia loved flowers. Memorial donations may be made to Cherokee Home for Children. Local News Roundup. Mural Assistance Program. Local business owners wanting to spruce up their buildings will get some help from Odessa Arts. Beginning June 1st, business can apply for mural assistance. This $2,500 matching grant will assist businesses with finding the right artist and purchasing supplies to enhance their buildings with murals. Grants will be distributed across all city council districts, as well as inside the downtown Odessa footprint. Grant application portal will open June 1st. Visit odessaarts.org. Bustin' for Badges. Bustin' for Badges has scheduled the 8th Annual Clay Shoot Fundraiser, April 15 and 16, at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road C-2801, Stanton. This event benefits local law enforcement, Odessa Police Department, Midland PD, Ector County Sheriff's Office, and Midland CSO, and helps pay for much-needed equipment. Raffle tickets are currently available for a Polaris Ranger 500, $9,500 value, or a Bergara Premier 6.5 Creedmoor Series rifle, $1,650 value, and a Primo Oval LG300 ceramic charcoal grill, $1,160 value. The raffle tickets are $20 each, or six tickets for $100. The raffle tickets can be purchased by dropping by the OPD front desk, 205 North Grant Avenue, during regular business hours, or by calling 432-335-3322. To register or for more information, visit bustinforbadges.org or call 432-571-3462. OA News at OAOA.com. Leaders Ask Challenges Mentors. OA News at OAOA.com. Definitions of success, top challenges, and recharging were just some of the topics tackled by the Odessa Chamber of Commerce's International Women's Day. 10 women from a variety of leadership positions shared their stories about challenges that they have had to overcome, as well as what's inspired them to be where they are today. About 230 people attended. It was moderated by Odessa Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Earls. Stacy Brown, CEO of Odessa Regional Medical Center and Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring, said success to her is finding what you love and doing it well. Sharon Cannon, Dean of the School of Nursing at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, said success comes from self-confidence, setting goals and achieving them, and if you don't achieve them, learning from them. Sandra Oaf, CEO of E-Official Enterprises and co-owner with her husband Toby of the Marriott and Starbucks, said being happy is her definition of success. Oaf added that having a big job title and money can leave you short. Erica Thomas, executive director of Odessa Links, a nonprofit, said early on success was about self-determination and later mentorship and sharing knowledge and experience. Medical Center Hospital Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said leaving her mark and leaving something or someone better is her goal. Several panelists said COVID-19 is the biggest challenge they have faced this year. On role models, Oaf cited Mother Teresa, who she said is such a great example of strong faith and determination. County Judge Debbie Hayes said COVID and the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting are the top challenges. Hayes said her mentor is her mother. Hayes said her childhood wasn't picture perfect and there was abuse, but her mother was the glue that held the family together. Odessa Chamber of Commerce, odessachamber.com. Horoscope. Happy birthday for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. Psychic, visionary, and conceptual, you have a personal magnetism that comes out to shine this year, and relying on your instincts, you're very successful with a tidy fortune. If single, you're wary of attachment, so you stay single until a move precipitates your change in 2022. If attached, your partner loves you just as you are. It's bliss, although you still need to get away. Aquarius is the most far out. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 5 stars. Today brings the gift of friendship. Get involved with groups. Cultivate those whom you would enjoy as friends. politics, and community issues can be a catalyst for association. Enjoy life and put plans in motion for future dreams. Tonight, take the night off. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. 4 stars. Today highlights public recognition in your career. Be alert to changes in your field. Very keen competition is present. Dispel confusion by double-checking for precision and accuracy. Be diplomatic during discussions. Tonight, an uncharitable comment made would come back to haunt you. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. 5 stars. Your natural cleverness is enhanced. It's a perfect day to begin writing a book, assembling artistic creations, or selecting educational goals. Work incorporating music and art from faraway lands can elevate your spirit. Interactions with a child will be especially happy and comforting. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. 3 stars. Financial obligations relating to others can be resolved. Sincerity is the best way to process and release old resentments. Get in tune with how you really feel and let others know. You overcome competition or other obstacles with aplomb. Tonight, a partner's perspective is grounded. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. 5 stars. Cooperation and tolerance are essential today. You will be aware of the importance of upholding justice and maintaining balance. A deep awareness is present. Your intuition is wonderful. Heed those inner voices and you'll be guided towards success. Tonight, fun date night. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. 4 stars. The quiet and cool hours will have a rejuvenating power. A health challenge can be overcome. Adopt a live and let live attitude toward others. Make few demands and seek no favors. Negotiate to avoid conflict. Tonight, an online meeting opens new doors. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. 4 stars. Today brightens your personal life. Your sense of style and people skills are also excellent. Network. Nurture a promising new relationship. Your artistic talents are in top form. Practice playing an instrument or create a drawing. Tonight, speak your mind. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. 2 stars. There can be some stress involving family members. A residential move or change to your workspace is possible. Differences are resolved through a discussion or emails. Take sensible precautions and all will be well. Tonight, an elderly relative might need your assistance. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. 5 stars. Expect some interesting conversations. New ideas are suggested, and business joins gracefully with pleasure. Your energy level is enhanced. Romantic urges are pronounced, and you will express your love. Tonight, natural magic will work quickly to intensify the relationship. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. 4 stars. Imaginative plans increase your income. A hunch, as well as new developments in your field, lead to worthwhile new opportunities. Be careful not to discard memorabilia and keepsakes impulsively. Tonight, tense family situations from the past are resolved. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. 5 stars. Today augurs a fresh start and brings a cycle of higher energy, leading to much accomplishment. Frustrations will melt away. Direct irritation into constructive venues and the world will be at your feet. Tonight, focus on what you want. Go for close and intimate. Passes, February 19th through March 20th. 4 stars. Consider consequences and options first. Quiet the mind through meditation. Psychic communication with wild creatures will be especially lucid. Your creative talents shine. Use your imagination. A child or new friend inspires you. Tonight, you might just want to luxuriate and take a nap. Hazel Weaver, Abilene. Hazel Naomi Clark Weaver was born on July 1, 1925, to William and Agnes Turpin Clark in Wetumpka, Oklahoma. On Saturday, March 6, 2021, at the age of 95, Hazel departed Lindale Memory Care in Abilene, Texas, to be perfectly healed and follow her Savior into eternal life. She was blessed to live independently in her home until December 2020. We are most grateful to Dr. Robert Strigler, Lindale Memory Care, and Kinder Hearts Hospice, who tenderly cared for Hazel these last few weeks. She leaves to cherish her memory 4 children, Glenda Musser-Kratzer of Katy, Gary Jan York of Williamsburg, Virginia, Billy Joanne York of Abilene, and Teresa Steve Woodard of Abilene, 10 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren. Also surviving are Hazel's sister, Tressie Turner of DeWitt, Iowa, and former daughter-in-law, Charlene York of Georgetown. Hazel was preceded in death by her parents, William and Agnes Clark, her husband, J.D. Weaver, son and daughter-in-law, James and Mary Weaver, son-in-law, Phil Kratzer, and brother, Sheila Clark. The family will host a visitation from 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, at Elliott Hamill Funeral Home, 5701 U.S. Highway 277 South, Abilene, Texas. A graveside service officiated by Mike Harkrider, pastor at Wiley Baptist Church, Abilene, Texas, will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, March 10th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, 6801 Interstate 20 BL, Odessa, Texas. Memorials for Hazel may be made to Wiley Baptist Church Building Fund. First-generation college grad enjoys career in health care. Special to the Odessa American by Rebecca Bell, MC Executive Director, Institutional Advancement. Midland. I was the second oldest of 7 children in my family, Carlos Castillo explained. My father worked on a cotton farm near Midkiff and probably made less than $25,000 per year. Growing up, I had always wanted to go to college, but I didn't think it was possible. When I was a senior at Rankin High School, I went to Midland with a friend of mine who was going to go to Midland College. We could get an excused absence from school as a college day. When I got to Midland College, I met Sonia McKeska, the athletics trainer, and she asked me if I was interested in becoming a student athletic trainer. When I explained that I couldn't afford to go to college, she said she could help me get scholarships and financial aid. That meeting changed my life. Today, Castillo is a contract computed tomography, CT technologist, working for a traveling medical staffing company. He is currently working at Medical City Hospital in Fort Worth. He works 3 12-hour shifts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings, and then is back in Midland on Monday to be with his family during the week. I worked at Midland Memorial Hospital for 10 years, Castillo said. I really enjoyed it, but I was ready for a change and wanted to see how other hospitals worked. The opportunity to work as a traveling contract CT tech appealed to me. The salary is more, and I have the opportunity to see how other hospitals are managed. My goal is to eventually move up to a management position in a hospital. Castillo graduated from Rankin High School in 2004, and thanks to Midland College scholarships and federal financial aid, he was able to attend Midland College from 2004 to 2006. During that time, he was a student athletic trainer, working with the men's basketball and women's volleyball teams. He also was a student ambassador and worked as a night clerk in one of MC's residence halls. The opportunity to be a student trainer made me realize that I wanted a career in the medical field, Castillo said. It also taught me time management and organizational skills. Sonia Mikeska gave her student trainers a lot of responsibility, and she expected us to own up to it. It made for long days. I would go to class in the mornings, work with the teams during their afternoon practice, and then have to wash uniforms. In the nights, I worked in the residence halls. I loved every minute of it. When Castillo graduated from Midland College with his first associate degree in 2006, he applied to the college's radiography technology program, however, wasn't immediately accepted. I just kept trying, Castillo said. I got a job working at Schlumberger, but didn't give up on my dream of becoming a radiography technologist. 2 years later, in 2008, Castillo was accepted into the program. This time, he financed his tuition and fees with Midland College donor-directed scholarships and by working in the evenings at Chick-fil-A. In 2010, he graduated with his second degree from Midland College, the Associate of Applied Science degree in Radiography Technology. He got a job working at Midland Memorial Hospital, where he worked as a CT and MRI technologist. Also in 2010, Castillo married his wife, Cressa, and the couple now have two children, 9-year-old Krista and 5-year-old Nicholas. Castillo took a second job to support his growing family, working one weekend each month at Pecos County Memorial Hospital in Fort Stockton. Even though the job I have now requires me to work in Fort Worth on the weekends, it really allows me more time with my family, he said. My ultimate goal is to keep working as a contract CT tech and work on a bachelor's degree at Midland College in organizational management so that I can eventually get into hospital management. In his spare time, Castillo enjoys golfing and fishing. Family time with his wife and children includes watching movies and enjoying the trails at Sibley Nature Center in Midland with the family's new Labrador puppy named Danny. Castillo has set an example for his younger brothers and sisters. He was the first person in his family to attend and graduate from college. 4 of his younger siblings followed in his footsteps and also graduated from community colleges. 1 from Western Texas College in Snyder, and 3 from Midland College. I'm not sure where my life would have taken me had I not gone with my friend to Midland College on that day during my high school senior year, Castillo said. I just wanted to get an excused absence from school. I never imagined that I would end up enrolling in college. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. The opportunity to go to college is available for everyone. You just have to take it. Pictured are, from left to right, Carlos Castillo, his daughter Krista, son Nicholas, and wife Cressa. Courtesy photo. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, etc. Stones aren't normal in BCG treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm not able to get any straight answers from the doctors about a serious issue my husband is having. He was diagnosed in August 2019 with bladder cancer. In early September 2019, the tumor, part of the lining, and end of the ureter were removed and tested, and we were told they got it all. They recommended BCG immunotherapy to prevent recurrence. He had two treatments 1 week apart beginning October 30th, 2019, and immediately started having problems, passing stones, then unable to urinate. They inserted a catheter and scheduled a cystoscopy and restarted the therapy after a few weeks. The doctor said he had an intense reaction to the immunotherapy and the effects can last a year. But my husband is experiencing the same things over and over. I can tell when it's happening because he's up to urinate every 20 minutes. He's passed over 30 large stones and more than 100 of the little ones. Is this what's going to happen for the rest of his life? Is there anything that can be done to help this situation, such as dietary changes or medication? CV. Answer. Bacillus calmette-guérin, a bacterium distantly related to tuberculosis, can be instilled in the bladder and cause the body to have a strong local immune reaction. This immune reaction is effective at destroying superficial cancer, and BCG is a common and effective treatment for some cases of bladder cancer. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Death notices. Carl Raymond Denton, Odessa. Carl Raymond Denton, 61, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 20th, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, March 13th, 2021, at Sherwood Church of Christ. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Arturo Ramirez Art Fuentes, Midland. Arturo Ramirez Art Fuentes, 67, of Odessa, died Friday, February 26th, 2021, in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m., Wednesday, March 10th, 2021, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH Urgent Care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities and Phase 1B, most at risk and for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549 or visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. HEB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine. based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com/CP/1228302 or visit samsclub.com/pharmacy. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,397 total cases, 338 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 3 students, 0 staff. Midland County, 16,624 total cases, 251 deaths. Texas, 2,695,558 total cases, 45,315 deaths. U.S. cases, 28,813,424 total confirmed, and 523,850 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPUQ. Council to vote on mask ordinance by Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council today is expected to vote to rescind a face covering ordinance approved by the previous City Council in November when COVID-19 rates in the city appeared to be skyrocketing. Council will meet virtually at 6 p.m. through the city's WebEx system. A majority of council members indicated during last Tuesday's work session that they were prepared to do away with the controversial ordinance. Mayor Javier Hovind said he was ready to return to in-person meetings, which he said gives council and residents more opportunity to interact. He also noted that COVID-19 cases have significantly decreased since November. The community has done a great job of masking and social distancing, Hovind said. I think people should be allowed to take personal responsibility to mask if they feel like it. Council's decision to revisit the issue comes after Texas Governor Greg Abbott's announcement last week that he's lifting the face covering mandate and will be allowing businesses to open up to 100% capacity beginning March 10th. City Attorney Natasha Brooks last week told council it still needed to vote to rescind the city's mask mandate because that was a local ordinance passed by the former council. If council does vote to rescind the city's mask ordinance, residents would no longer be required to wear face coverings at city council meetings after March 10th, explained Devin Sanchez, director of communications. Residents would also not be required to wear masks in city buildings. City Manager Mark Marrero said on Tuesday that city employees will still be required to wear masks when interacting with the public and in offices where social distance guidelines are difficult to adhere to. Council tentatively agreed last week that they would continue holding work session meetings virtually. On Tuesday, Council will also consider a $600,000 grant request by the Ellen Noel Art Museum to help pay for a $12 million building renovation and expansion project. The funds would come from a financial assistance grant issued through the Odessa Development Corporation. Closing prices. Posted $61.53. Futures $65.05. Natural gas $2.664. Benchmark US fell $1.04 to $65.05 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Astrologer Madeline Aslan. Arturo Ramirez Art Fuentes, Midland. Arturo Art Ramirez Fuentes, 67, was called home on Friday, February 26, 2021. He was born Sunday, July 12, 1953, in Pecos, Texas, to Pedro and Fidela Fuentes. Visitation will be held Tuesday, March 9, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home. Mass will be celebrated on Wednesday, March 10, 2021, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, with Father Mark Woodruff officiating. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Arturo is preceded in death by his father, Pedro Fuentes Jr., and sister Graciela F. Vargas. Those left to cherish his love and memory are his son, Michael Madrid Bridget, two grandchildren, Michaela and Brock Madrid, mother Fidela R. Fuentes, three sisters, Irma F. Ramirez, Sandra F. Hernandez Manuel, Susan Fuentes Wilson, numerous nieces and nephews. Arrangements are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. If you would like to send the family your condolences, you may do so by signing his guest book at www.martinezfuneral.com. Quick Hits. Recycle and Reuse Event. Keep Midland Beautiful has scheduled bowling and bingo, recycling and reusing fun, at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday at Centennial Park, 200 West Wall Street, Midland. Learn about recycling and reusing while having fun. Bowling with repurposed bottles and recycling bingo includes all sorts of prizes for winners. Visit tinyur.com/647V9BEE. From Staff Reports. Permian Basin Weather, 5-day Odessa and Midland Forecast. CBS 7, your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tiefertiller, Lauren Bostwick. Today, mostly cloudy with south winds at 15 to 20 miles per hour. High 75, low 54. Wednesday, partly cloudy with south winds at 15 to 20 miles per hour. High 81, low 53. Thursday, partly cloudy with south winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. High 77, low 54. Friday, mostly cloudy, high 73, low 47. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 64, low 38. New Mexico Outlook, Hobbs, mostly cloudy, high 76, low 51. Ruidoso, mostly sunny, high 67, low 44. Fact, on this date in 1989, 22 cities in the southwestern U.S. reported new record high temperatures for the date. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, page 2, read. OPD-OFR will still wear masks after mandate expires. Sheriff leaves decision up to each deputy staff member. By Royal McGregor, RMCGREGOR at OAOA.com. Though Governor Greg Abbott's statewide mask mandate will expire on Wednesday, City of Odessa employees will still be required to wear face coverings while interacting with the public and while inside city buildings. City of Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero told the Odessa American on Monday morning that city employees include members of the Odessa Police Department and Odessa Fire Rescue. When they are in contact with citizens, that they will continue to wear their masks, Marrero said. That's probably the safest bet for not only the protection of the firefighter or the office, but also the resident as well. Marrero said the city council doesn't need to vote on this matter, that the city would be following in line with what Ector County Independent School District and Medical Center Health System are doing. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said that county employees, whether they are at Ector County Sheriff's Office or Ector County Law Enforcement Center, can choose whether or not to wear face coverings. Photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke talks to a guest of the graduation ceremony for the 21st session of the Odessa Police Academy Friday afternoon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. Chief Gerke is wearing a face mask. Griffiths continued to explain that if deputies are asked to wear face coverings by members of the public or businesses that they are dispatched to, then they will comply with those requests. We are going to leave wearing a mask up to the individual, Griffiths said. If they want to wear it, it's fine. If they don't want to wear it, it's fine. OPD Chief Michael Gerke said after Friday's Odessa Police Academy graduation that he knows there will be mixed feelings about continuing to wear masks once the statewide mandate has been lifted. It makes some people feel safer, Gerke said, wearing masks. Some people will scoff at us, and that's okay. It's a small thing, and I don't think it puts so much of a burden on an officer to do that when they are in contact with the public. OFR Chief John Alvarez said on Monday morning that he doesn't believe Odessa is out of the woods dealing with the coronavirus. We are going to continue to wear ours, especially with the patient contact that we have, Alvarez said. We have to make sure that we are taking care of the public. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. Page 7, Section A. OC gets reskilling grant. OA News at OAOA.com. The Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board has awarded $9.3 million to Texas higher education institutions as part of the second round of awards under the Texas Reskilling Support Fund grant program, a news release said. Although a number of other Texas colleges and universities received additional funding in the second round, only Odessa College and Texas State University received $1.5 million each during this round of the grant funding. This most recent funding amount matches the $1.5 million that Odessa College received as part of the Governor's Emergency Relief Fund in December 2020 during the first round of awards from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. Through a competitive process, 25 applicants representing 31 institutions and serving 6,100 students were selected for the awards. In December 2020, $18.1 million was awarded to 40 applicants, representing 49 institutions and serving nearly 12,000 students a Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board news release said. Supported by a portion of the $175 million allocation to the THECB from the Governor's Emergency Educational Relief, GEER, fund, reskilling grants allow Texas public colleges, technical schools, and universities to provide financial assistance to Texas students to cover tuition and fees. The funds awarded to Odessa College will exclusively pay for scholarships that cover the cost of student tuition and fees, a news release said. The grant provides support for those displaced Texas workers and Texans who have previously stopped out of higher education without completing a post-secondary credential, OC Executive Director of Advancement Jackie Gore said in the release. Gore added that the student scholarships range from $500 to $2,500 per semester, with a maximum of $2,500. That will cover books and fees. To qualify, students must be Texas residents who have filed a free application for federal student aid, FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A. Gore said that doesn't mean they have to qualify, but they have to apply, have financial need, and be eligible for federal Title IV aid, affirm that they were affected by COVID-19, have not been enrolled in an accredited post-secondary institution in the last academic semester, are within 12 months of completing their credential program, are studying in the following areas: automotive technology, diesel technology, teaching early childhood through sixth grade, instrumentation and electronics technology, bookkeeping, office administration assistant, welding, computer user specialist, business leadership, business administration, occupational safety and environmental technology, criminal justice, paramedic, fire EMS, licensed vocational nurse, transition students from LVN to ADN, associate degree nurse, and surgical technology. ADN graduates are registered nurses once they pass the NCLEX and have their license. She noted that the grant is focused on helping Texans get the skills needed to go into a high-skill, high-wage career. These are programs that Odessa College offers that will help a student go right to work. These are areas that employers let Odessa College know that they need more employees, Gore said. Students may still qualify even if they haven't been in school for many years, Gore said. This is a way to get students back in school, Gore said. They do need some higher education credits, so that could mean that they have dual credit from their high school years. This is a great way for students to either gain more skills to get promoted in their current workplace, or they may want to completely change directions. And as long as they fall within the program we can fund, this would be a great way for students to change directions, come back to school, and gain the certificate or degree that they need to change careers, Gore added. Many times, Gore said, when an individual is hesitant about making a change, it has to be to do with funding and time, primarily, and both of those are areas OC can help someone with. We have the funding now where if a student qualifies for this grant, that student can go to college free of charge, Gore said. And OC offers classes in the 8-week setting, so students can take classes in bite-sized pieces, maybe 1 to 2 classes every 8 weeks. Classes are available in the evenings and on weekends, Gore said. If someone has questions, they may call the financial aid office at 432-335-6429 or visit the odessa.edu link page to the Texas Reskilling Grant. If someone isn't sure what they are interested in, they will be directed to a student success coach. The coaches can look at the hours a prospective student already has and see what programs they can go right into and also to learn more about what their interests are and see if their interests match these programs. We saw with the pandemic and the economic downturn that there are Permian Basin residents who are either out of work or have taken a job at lesser pay than they were making during the boom, Gore said. This is a way for individuals to get the courses that they need to go into a position in a pretty short period of time. So the goal is to get the students through their program within the next year, this year, she added. OC has to award the round one $1.5 million. OC needs to award those scholarships by December 31st, 2021, and the round two scholarships we need to award by February 15th, 2022. The goal is to get the students enrolled, get the scholarships awarded, and help them get through the program within the next 12 months so they can get right to work in these areas, Gore said. She added that it not only helps individuals, but it's also a workforce development tool for the Permian Basin to fill these openings in Odessa and the surrounding areas. If someone doesn't qualify for the reskilling grant, there are other dollars available through the CARES Act, Workforce Commission, and Odessa College Foundation. There are more dollars available right now for a student to go back to school than ever before, Gore said. Odessa College, www.odessa.edu. Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, www.higered.texas.gov. That's www.higered.texas.gov. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, page 8, section A. Museum launches $12 million capital campaign. Council could vote today on helping fund the endeavor. By Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z, at OAOA.com. The Illinois Art Museum recently launched a $12 million capital campaign effort that will pay for major facility renovations and expansion, including construction of new and larger galleries, classrooms, a glass facade, and upgrades to the current facility's electrical wiring, heating, and cooling systems. The improvements will put students in more classrooms, attract more visiting artists and speakers, and provide room for major exhibitions, Illinois Art Museum Director Sheila Perry said. That's what this $12 million project is really about, improving the quality of life for everyone in Odessa, Perry says. There's a lot of potential here, but this building was constructed in 1985. Everything in it, the alarm system, electrical work, and lighting, heating, ventilation, and cooling system, are all 36 years old. Everything is outdated. The parts to fix these things aren't even made anymore. Museum officials began discussing and planning the proposed project in 2018, but only recently went public with the plan. Officials have already raised $2.2 million for the project, a promising start, Capital Campaign Chairman Austin Keith recently told Odessa City Council. The museum has also applied for a $600,000 financial assistance grant from the Odessa Development Corporation, which City Council may vote on during today's council meeting. If approved, those grant funds would also be used to pay for renovations and the expansion, Keith has said. The expansion would allow the museum to hire 8 new employees, double the number it currently employs. Some council members have suggested giving the museum funding from the hotel motel tax instead of the grant for the project, since it would help promote downtown and tourism. But that might not be possible because the hotel funds are usually earmarked for projects years in advance, city officials said during a council work session last week. The museum already receives $28,000 annually from the city's hotel tax occupancy fund, which it uses for marketing purposes, Perry said. Structurally, the current building is in good shape, but very outdated, Perry said. For example, the steel beams in the walls of the museum make it almost impossible to access the internet or find a cell phone signal, Perry said. We wanted to bring a Rembrandt exhibit, but were turned down because we don't have a fire suppression sprinkler system, Perry said. The current size of the museum is also a problem because it limits the kind of exhibits that can be presented. Because of our small size, we didn't even qualify for hosting a Picasso exhibit and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame exhibit, Perry said. A couple years ago, museum staff struggled to construct their own 911 exhibit using the current facility's limited space, Perry said. The staff were forced to spread the exhibit into smaller pieces and display it in separate rooms, which impacted its continuity. Another sore spot for Perry is the museum's appearance from the outside. The current building looks like a fortress, said Perry, referring to the solid brick exterior, which has no windows and a confusing layout that makes it difficult to find the museum entrance. According to draft renderings of the planned expansion, the brick front of the museum would be replaced by large glass windows, which would allow passersby to see inside activity. Inside, some walls would be torn down and replaced by movable walls, which would allow museum staff to adjust classroom sizes as needed. Plans also call for the construction of a partial second floor, which would house offices, a meeting room, and library. Museum officials hope to raise the $12 million in time for a 2022 groundbreaking and reopen the improved museum in 2023, Perry said. The effort is a long-term strategy that museum officials believe will make the current facility viable for another 3 to 4 decades. It's much less expensive than building a new museum, Perry said. Despite its age and limited capabilities, the nonprofit museum continues to do well. The museum averages about 35,000 visitors annually and features 12 to 18 exhibits each year, according to museum records. That visitor count doesn't include the dozens of outreach programs museum staff offer at local schools, parks, and other facilities. Can you believe that only 4 elementary schools in the county offers art programs? Perry said. Art is important to everyone, but especially young people. So that's why we do outreach programs for them. Another source of pride is the museum's extensive archive of permanent artwork collection, a collection that could be expanded if more space was available. Despite some naysayers, Perry firmly believes facilities like the Art Museum can play a big role in attracting new residents and tourists to a community. Some people say Odessa is never going to be a tourist destination, Perry said. Maybe not, but we can become part of a regional destination. We need to move forward and invest in our community. Man, woman charged with leaving crack cocaine around children. OA News at OAOA.com. A 36-year-old man and a 29-year-old woman were arrested after they reportedly left 25 grams of crack cocaine around 6 children. John Smith, 36, and Ayla Smith, 29, were each charged with 6 counts of endangering a child, a state jail felony, and possession of marijuana. John Smith is also being held by the U.S. Marshals. The Odessa Police Department executed a search warrant on March 5th in the 700 block of Snyder Avenue, an OPD probable cause affidavit stated. Inside the residence, there were two adults, John Smith and Ayla Smith, and six children. Detectives reportedly found a large amount of a rock-like substance known as crack cocaine on top of the television table in the living room. The total weight of the crack cocaine was 25 grams. There was also less than 2 ounces of marijuana found on top of the master bedroom dresser, the affidavit stated. The marijuana was within reach and possession of John Smith and Ayla Smith. John Smith and Ayla Smith were arrested and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. John Smith has 7 bonds, totaling $21,500, and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon, jail records show. Ayla Smith had 7 bonds, totaling $21,500, and posted bail on March 6th.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.